It's time for that annual ritual. So isn't this the greatest Ars conference yet? What do you think? I'm certainly preaching to the choir about the urgency of preservation in audiovisual collections. The deterioration of the media, the obsolescence, the unavailability of machines, the practitioners passing on, and for at least a decade, the clarion call has been, somebody ought to do something about this. And for the, 15 years that it's been in the making, in February, the National Recording Preservation Plan was finally published. And as program chair, when this was actually coming out, I committed a whole day of the conference to addressing issues that are raised in the plan. And starting yesterday with the panel that Mike Casey led, and then throughout this entire day, we're gonna hear from a whole string of people who have been and are doing something about it. We're gonna lead off with Pat Lockney and Brenda Nelson Strauss. We'll give us some background about the plan. We'll hear from Tim Brooks about copyright, and we'll get into the technology plan. And Sam will do a little bit of a call to action about what can the rest of this be doing from the bully pulpit. Yeah, it is. It's the third day of an Ars conference. And I don't drink. I don't know how you guys do the late nights and the drinking. About, you know, what can ARCS do with this plan? How can this get beyond another report that gathers dust on a shelf? And at the end of the day, there'll be a chance for you to step up and say, yes, I will contribute on that item. I get to do intros, and we'll start with Pat Lockney. Is Executive Director of the Library of Congress National Audiovisual Conservation Center. He has a doctorate in American cultural history and is a founding chief of the Packard Campus for Audiovisual Conservation and the former director of the L. Jeffrey Selznick School of Film Preservation. He has served for over 30 years as a curator, archivist, cultural historian, administrator, and educator at the Library of Congress, the George Eastman House Museum, and the University of Rochester. Professional memberships at ARSC, AMIA, and Treasure of FIAF. And as a measure of where Pat puts ARSC, have you seen this yet? I think there were 1,500 copies of this printed, and Pat felt that every person who attended this conference should get a copy of this. So 200 of the 1,500 went to ARSC. And Pat made that possible. So,
thank you for that introduction, George. But I should say that since the American taxpayer paid for the making of this plan, I should thank you, or we at the library should thank you. So you get a little bit back from what you sent off in April. Couple of years ago, or annual anyway. I will be very brief, and I promised George I would be 5 minutes or less, and I'm going to try to stick to that. Basically, I'm here to simply say that that you've been hearing about the plan and all these things relating to the National Recording Preservation Board and so on since the year 2000 at least. So I'm here to testify that actually something that got started in Washington, D.C. has finally gotten done. So that's and also to thank a few people at the end. So that's what I'm set about doing here. So let's see if I can get into these slides here. Pardon me. The National Recording Preservation Plan. I thought you might like to see some of the language from the original legislation, Public Law 106-474, which was enacted by Congress and signed into law in the year 2000, known as the National Recording Preservation Act. And the operable language in this piece of legislation is that the board shall conduct a study and issue a report on the following issues. And so, in a sense, that's what's really been engaging the library and the National Recording Preservation Board for all these years. And along the way, we paused to design, build, and implement and move into a $200 million audiovisual conservation center, which was a gift to the nation courtesy of the Packard Humanities Institute, which has done a lot to sort of elevate and make more visible the whole importance of the need to conserve our audiovisual cultural heritage in the United States. And that's an incredible gift to the nation by the Packard Humanities Institute. But it's given real credibility to this whole purpose of the library, which has been thrust more or less in the role of developing national public policy relative to not only recording preservation, but film preservation, and soon, I think, television preservation as well. So we're very pleased to finally get this done with the help of a great number of people. This is the National Recording Preservation Plan, or excuse me, study that was conducted and published in August of 2010. The authors were Rob Bamberger and our own Sam Brolowski. And for those of you who have not seen a copy, you can go to the Council on Library and Information Resources website, and under the pubs/reports, you can download a PDF copy. This is the document here. It's the first ever nationwide study of the state of recorded sound preservation ever conducted in the United States, and it's a landmark document. And I urge you all to read it because it's the foundation document for the plan. But there were three elements in the National Recording Preservation Act of 2000. One was to conduct a study, one was to create the plan, but also the other along the way was to establish a National Recording Preservation Foundation, which would be a separate, standalone, nonprofit foundation that would exist for the purpose of raising funds to provide funding support for recorded sound archives throughout the United States. And I want to introduce Gerald Seligman. Please, Gerald, if you would stand. Gerald is the Executive Director of the National Recording Preservation Foundation, and I urge you all to go to the panel session at which Gerald will be making a presentation about the work of the foundation and what he has achieved and his board since this foundation was created. I think there's some important news that you'll all be glad to know about. But I also want you to know about Gerald because I think he could become important in the lives of you and your organizations going forward in terms of preserving our nation's recorded sound heritage. So, well, now we're at the plan. You've all got a copy, and I urge you to read it. And again, this is going back to the legislation directing the Librarian of Congress to implement a comprehensive National Recorded Sound Preservation Program. Now, that's ambitious, and we all know that one thin document is not necessarily a national roadmap for the future. But we looked at this as an effort that was going to be perhaps even generational in its aspirations. Some of the challenges, particularly in copyright or in the need to develop and implement advanced degree programs to train audio engineers, curators, program managers, and so on, are all going to be actions that will require the interest and input from institutions of higher education, and also input from industry members and so on. And so it's not going to be within the power of the Library of Congress to simply make this happen because the Library of Congress or the National Recording Preservation Board says so. So we're very well aware of that. But the purpose of this plan is to get ideas out there, put the recommendations before people, and seek collaborators that can begin to develop a consensus effort going forward in the coming years to make this happen. So we're not putting this out there with the notion that it's going to be instantaneously successful or that we'll be coming back to an ARS conference in 2 or 3 years and declaring success and completion on all the recommendations in the plan. That's not the effort here, but I think you all know that. So I'm now at the happy part of my presentation, which is to basically thank for all the hard work that she put into making this plan happen. As the convener of the task forces, the organizer of the task forces, the person who had to put up with the anguish of conference calls and also continue to do her full-time job at Indiana University, I'd like to ask you to please stand and applaud Brenda Nelson Strauss. Thank you, Brenda. I know there were many trying times that I personally put you through, and for that I apologize, but I want to add my voice to the chorus of applause and thanks for all the hard work, because without your motive force, your organization, your willingness to commit way beyond your normal workload, this would not be done without you. And I'd like to conclude by adding thanks to ARSC members in this audience who also participated as members of task forces and made vital contributions to the document that you now have copies of. And I want to thank George Blood, Bob Hiber, Mike Casey, Chris Lesinick, David Soibert, Tim Brooks, Sam Brolowski, Gene Deanna, head of the Recorded Sound Section at the Library of Congress, Marcos Suero Ball, and Catlin Hunter, also of the Recorded Sound Section at the Library of Congress. In conclusion, I would say that this plan has the DNA of ARSC in it more than any other organization in the United States or elsewhere. And I think the spirit of the contributing members who put their ideas and the hard work into it has made it a really important document that could have, and I think will have, enduring influence in shaping the national effort that it's going to take to finally bring under control and fix and make accessible and preserve our America's recorded sound heritage. And so as a member of ARSC, I want to thank you, my fellow members, and ARSC, again, Brenda Nelson Strauss, for bringing this plan to reality. So thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody. And first, I'd like to point out that Sam and especially Alan Gevinson, who really was the one who worked hard to bring all of the disparate recommendations together and help write the text, were really, I think, almost more responsible for the final publication than me. So many, many, many thanks for them. As we've alluded to, the plan was really sort of a long and difficult birth. It just occurred to me when I was sitting here listening to Pat that, you know, some of you know that I have a daughter, but since I had a surgical delivery, I never experienced labor pains. Well, you know, now I have experienced labor pains. But it's very gratifying to see this finally published. During the production of the plan, we it was easy to get discouraged and think, is this going to really be a viable plan? Is it going to flourish? Are people going to take any action? So instead of really talking about the plan today, what I really want to do is just to give a very brief report on updates that have occurred, very recently, just over the last few months, and in some cases, 2 days ago when I received an email from a group. So I think it's all very exciting, and I think we're gaining some momentum, and we want that momentum to keep building. And so just to encapsulate this report, in December of 2012, ARSC representatives to the National Recording Preservation Board, in collaboration with the ARSC board and co-chairs of the Education and Training Task Force and the Technical Committee, put together a document to submit to NRPB, kind of prioritizing which recommendations in the plan ARSC might work on, and that was submitted to Sam Brolowski, and he's going to report more on that later today. In April of this year, just 1 month ago, You know, Mike Casey, who has really worked so hard on many of these things, worked with the IU libraries to convene a two-day meeting which involved representatives from mostly from Big Ten libraries. So this was, I think, really a major goal of trying to get other universities excited about these issues, excited about media preservation, and working collaboratively to move things forward. So the presentation given yesterday by Mike Casey, Patrick Feaster, Josh Harris, and Chris Lesinick, in some part repeated the presentation that Mike and Patrick had given to this group of Big Ten library representatives on appraisal of collections. And I must say that, you know, everybody was really excited about it. And already there were several institutions in that meeting that reported that they were proceeding with a survey. So in addition to the IU Media Preservation Survey, University of Illinois, which Josh reported on yesterday. Also, I believe, I don't want to put her on the spot, but I believe Robin Pike mentioned that she's doing something at University of Maryland. The University of Michigan, Purdue, and Penn State all said that they were taking steps to do appraisals of media collections on their campuses. So I think this is a very exciting news. Another report that was given at this conference, which is now public knowledge, but I don't think that a lot of people in this room are aware of it, and that's goes along with Section 3 of the plan in terms of broadening public access. So Indiana University, in collaboration with Northwestern University, have a grant to establish what's now called the Avalon Media System, which was previously called Variations on Video, and it's really kind of a new product of the variation system that was developed at IU a long time ago. And this is going, Avalon is going to be a freely available open source system for managing large collections of digital and audio files. It will enable libraries and archives to easily curate, distribute, and provide online access to collections for purposes of teaching, learning, and research. So Avalon will allow you to offer secure streaming of both audio and film and video materials. And I'm not going to really say anything more about that, except that there's a very good website and also a blog and a Facebook page devoted to the Avalon project. And you can go to www.avalonmediasystem.org to find out more about that project and to follow its progress. During the conference, and I think if you were at the presentation yesterday, Josh had some of these on one of his slides. The organizations at this, or the institutions at this conference, really all agreed that there were many areas for future collaborations that might involve things like regional preservation centers, umbrella contracts with vendors, making a template for institutional surveys that can be shared, or even applying for grants or seeking funding for Mike's very highly trained SMART team to go to other institutions to help them with their surveys, and also to work together to develop cross-institutional standards and common workflows. And I believe Mike's team is going to develop a report on this. It will probably just be distributed among CIC libraries, but I imagine that if you're interested, he would be willing to share it. They also briefly touched upon recommendation 3.8, which is establishing a digital preservation network for media. So there is some interest out there, but we all realize that there, you know, that's a long-term goal and with a lot of kind of dicey areas to resolve, but still something that people are interested in. Also, the Music Library Association is working on several initiatives that connect with the plan, and thanks in part to Jerry McBride, who's the immediate past president of MLA and also an active ARSC member. So one thing that the music library is looking into is recommendation 3.11, which is to develop a code of best practices for fair use that is kind of a spin-off of the more general one that the Association of Research Libraries developed, but one that will be more specific to music materials. And I would encourage ARSC to work with MLA to develop that tool. MLA is also, well, just 2 days ago, I got an email from a member of the MLA Bibliographic Control Committee saying that the MLA board had asked them to look at recommendation 3.3, the establishment of best practices for audio cataloging. So that's great to have MLA on board to assist with that recommendation. Also, a kind of a combination of recommendations 3.7 and 4.4 that deal with the very thorny issue of licensing, streaming, and digital downloads. MLA has also developed a proposal for a national forum on online-only music to address issues related to copyright, online download-only music, and end-user license agreements. Which is something that I would very much like to see move forward. And finally, under recommendation 4.3, under one of the many bullets of that recommendation, the recommendation to collect and preserve locally produced recorded sound. We heard several presentations from MLA members about moving forward in that direction. So yes, we are seeing some progress. Today, I think we'll get into more of the meat and potatoes. Recommendation 1.7 talked about new technologies for audio preservation. It talked about identifying specific research needs and pursuing collaborative research and development. So I'm very happy that Bob Heiber, Carl Haber, and Peter Alia will be discussing new technological innovations. And then later today, under the National Recording Preservation Plan, sessions 3 and 4, we'll hear more about educational initiatives and funding possibilities. And Sam will then lead general discussions on ARSC's role in the implementation. So I think it's great that we're moving forward. And now I'm going to turn it back over to people that are really going to discuss the nuts and bolts.
Does anyone have any questions for Brenda?
Okay.